into admin, or do we want to?
Well, let's, Tony, I think we might as well, as long as we can have you on the phone.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, let me switch to my admin packet. Okay, we've got...
I'd move passage of the consent.
Okay, there's one item on consent.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, moving to B1, discussion matters with the commission. Keystone Pipeline investigation update. Pat.
Oh, you know what?
Hey, Tony, could we...
Staff's not all in there?
Well, I just have a recommendation, Tony. Maybe we should jump right to tomorrow's potential hearing, just in case we lose you down the road.
Oh, that's a good idea.
The other thing, Tony, just so you know, Pat, both Pat and Kara are up moving their parents in Minot. So Pat went rather quickly yesterday. There was going to be somebody from the health department here to talk about the pipeline issue, but they're not here either. So
yeah,
I agree. Brian's suggestion is a good one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I could actually give a little bit of an update, although it's not terribly new information. Actually, where I was, I had a chance to chat face-to-face with the fellow that Dave Barrett reports to in Washington. So, anyway.
And Leonard Steiner is here today, actually, as well.
Oh, is he? Okay.
But I guess we're going to call the person from the health department for their update. So.
Are we? Oh, okay.
No, we're going to call someone.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take care of the issue relating to the hearing tomorrow.
Okay, we have to call somebody on that too, Tony.
Okay, well, let's dial him in.
So you'll be on hold for a moment.
Okay.
Steve, nice of you to join us today. Josh, you
too. Hey, Steve, when is this printer going to work over here?
You have reached an inactive number.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Okay, I'm back. Are we all set?
No.
Not quite.
Not.
Okay.
Put you on hold again.
We're going to put you on hold again, Tony. The attorney, is that right, Dave?
Dave, you want to hop up? No, I guess if you need something, you're welcome to come on up here.
Dave, if we don't get him, well, he's probably listening in. Maybe. He could listen on the web, but.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no.
No, that's okay. What she's got is the conference number, right?
Yeah.
And it's not working.
Mitch, you've talked to him, I presume. Presume he doesn't have anything to say. He's
welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign. There are two participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as a participant. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
Hello?
Hi, this is the Public Service Commission. Tony, are you there? Okay, Tony, you're back now?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and we have the XL folks?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, very good. Go ahead, Tony.
Okay, great. Thanks. What we're discussing today, and we've all seen the memos over the last few days, but basically there are a confluence of events that may cause us to consider whether we want to reschedule the hearing for tomorrow. Amongst them, the flood in Minot, which obviously has XL's attention as it should. In addition, XL may be closer to being able to have a consolidated corridor and route application, which would allow them to be held at the same time. In addition, there are lingering questions, especially regarding notice requirements with regard to the fact that a portion of the corridor is theoretically in Richland County where it wasn't noticed, even though it's, at least at this point, seems fairly unlikely that Richland County will not be affected. But all of these things are sort of coming together. So we have it on the agenda. I'd open it for discussion and see where we go from there.
Sure. Mitch is here as well. Maybe, Mitch, it'd be a good time for you to just sort of weigh in.
Tell us what you know.
Tell us what you know, yeah. There you go.
Well, commissioners, what brought this about was we discovered over the weekend that there wasn't a notice published in Richland County. Last week we did learn that XL has approval from the Minnesota Commission for their proposed North Crossing, which is at Oxbow, North Dakota. And their application has two corridors. If the north portion is selected, the corridor sought is only within Cass County. If both river crossings are considered and the second one is decided on, then it traverses through Richland County, so it would include both counties.
Right.
We have noticed the hearing in Cass County, but not Richland County presently. The commission's received the memos on that and the updates from everybody. We do also have a letter from the company indicating that they would be willing to proceed, but their preference would be to, at a later date, combine their route permit and corridor compatibility proceedings. You know, once they get that application in and follow the procedures that would be required for that. So that's the nuts and bolts of the update on that issue.
Well, I mean, for me, I think that given the fact that the flooding, like Tony laid out, the company's desire to do it later, I think that rescheduling would just make good sense.
I do as well. My only caution, and I like the efficiency of the combined application, just don't want to give any false sort of impression that make, you know, ensures it's a done deal. I don't know how controversial any of these are, the river crossings, but I know Excel's worked really hard in that rather challenging area, you know, to get it to this point. So hopefully it wouldn't be hard. But I like the efficiency of it. I just don't want to give the impression that, you know, it would be a layup, so to speak.
Yeah. I think you're right. And by efficiency, we mean not that, as you suggest, it's not a done deal. It's that it limits the number of potentialities.
Right.
With where that line may go, which gives a clear indication for landowners as well.
Yes.
Where the line might go, which might provide more useful input for us.
That's what
That's what we're finding out in the hearings from Center to Grand Forks, right. Because now that there's an established route, it changed things a little bit, so I think that makes sense.
Yep. Okay, well, it sounds like we're all in agreement to reschedule that. Is there a need to do it right now? I don't recall if any dates were suggested or if it's something where we should sit on it for a little bit.
Maybe we should ask Zeb if he's got any comments. I guess we haven't heard from him yet.
Well, although before we would do that, just because this is Dave is here. Dave, did you have some dates? What's the timeline, I guess? There was some urgency.
I could.
Okay. Okay. Jerry's got something, Tony.
If we go that route, we would be waiting for the company to file a route permit application and probably do some revision to their corridor application. And I think that they were prepared to file that probably in August. They're looking at wanting to have the participation agreement signed, which would require the route permit in hand at the end of this year.
So basically wait for the application if you're all comfortable with that.
Right. We'll work with staff to make sure that application is filed properly. And then I guess we're hopeful that this kind of approach will allow us to maintain our construction schedule. So, yeah, we're supportive of that.
Okay.
No comments.
Tony?
Okay. I didn't hear any of the last conversation.
Well, that was just Dave basically saying that XL agrees with Jerry's the way Jerry laid it out.
Okay.
That should help. That maintains their construction schedule and everything. And so.
Okay. Sounds good. Do we want to go back to B1 now? Or
yes.
Just a quick thought for the three of us, though. Now we need to notify people what we're doing. And I assume Scott will do the best he can, but is there something else that we should do to let people know that we normally wouldn't do because it's a time frame involved?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if the company can put something out, if we should put something out.
It's Bonnie's probably swamped.
Mode.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if Bonnie and Scott can work together and really push it out there hard.
And then, Scott, if you've got specific emails from people that have asked you about that hearing, if you could email them all back individually and say, here's what's happened, just so those individuals that we assume would be coming will know.
That's a good idea. And then, of course, the usual signs at the location.
Yep.
Radio.
Radio.
Cool.
Okay. Well, let's move back to B1 then.
And are you here to talk to us about pipelines?
Thanks.
Dennis, come on up to and grab a microphone from Dennis from the State Health Department. And Patrick's not here, Dennis, because he's up moving his dad out of his house in Minot. So and I assume Patrick lined you up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And asked you to talk to us about the, I guess, the Keystone Pipeline and the impact. And your, I guess, your the agency's role in it. Is that accurate?
Yes. Again, my name's Dennis Fulis, Director of the Water Quality Division for the North Dakota Department of Health, and we do oversee cleanups for surface water, groundwater, and soils from any spills that may happen in the state. And in this case with Trans-Canadian Company and the Ludden Pump Station, we worked with them on the cleanup of 345 barrels of crude oil, 24 barrels of oil and water, and 800 cubic yards of soil. And I think probably what you're interested in today, were they responsive and did they do everything we asked? And yes, they did.
Good.
Dennis, I guess, thanks for coming by. So based on what your experience, I mean, everything kind of went the way that the emergency response plan was supposed to go, or was there things that maybe you, looking back, that we could have done differently or better, or, other than not having the accident in the first place?
You know, considering all the oversight of cleanups we have in the state, I would say this certainly went as good as we can be expected. You know, our top priority is containment and timely response, and they were good on both those aspects, and now we are in that last aspects of cleanup, waiting for soil samples and, mm-hmm. and water samples, and so we will work with them this summer on that, on the finishing the cleanup.
How do you guys first find out about something like this? What's the notification that gets to you?
You know, I am not the person from our department that actually responded to this, so I can't give you exactly how we heard about this, but normally it goes to state radio or disaster emergency services, and then they call
You're
us.
Part of that network.
Right, and we're part of that network, and they call us. But sometimes the companies, if you know, we do have contacts with them, they may call us directly too.
Thank you, Dennis.
Great. Tony, do you have any questions for Dennis? Going in there.
I'm sorry, I had it on mute.
Yeah,
no, I don't have any questions, but thanks for being here.
Yeah, Dennis, thanks for being here. That was very efficient and quite informative. So
answered all the questions I was looking for, Dennis.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Let's move to B2, the ERA grant extension. Mike, are you available?
I am. Commissioners, I put this on the for discussion. As you probably know, the ERA grant will expire by the end of the year. We have an option to ask for the extension of those funding sources. And so if we're going to extend the grant, we need to start that process. We also have Annette on, you know, as a temporary part-time employee, so if we're not going to extend it, I would think it would be in her interest, too, to decide that as early as possible rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much information you want from me. I'm prepared to go through generally the primary, where we are with respect to the primary goal of assisting counties and local government entities, and where we are with some of our secondary goals and initiatives. If you'd like me to run through those quickly, I can. I guess I'll let you direct me a little bit as to how much information you want. And
Well, I think, Mike, it probably makes sense to run through that a little bit. I mean, the main thing that the commission will want to consider is, you know, the scope of the project that we've had up to this point, and then how much of it we feel will have been accomplished by the end of the period, and if there's going to be additional work and things that we need done, you know, after it. So, I mean, basically, bottom line is if there's, you know, more to be accomplished, I think we should extend it. If we feel like the goals have been accomplished and we would be sort of searching for something, then it maybe tips a different direction.
All right. Well, the primary goal, as I already indicated, was to assist county and local government entities in the siting, planning, zoning process for energy conversion and transmission facilities. We've provided that information, we've provided information to every county on the siting process and have contacted each county individually and offered them our assistance and basically our service. Generally speaking, I would say that few have taken us up on our offer to come out and visit them face-to-face.
Say, Mike, could you pull the mic a little bit closer to you?
Sure. And I would also say that generally counties have kind of taken the position with us that when siting becomes an issue for us, we will contact you if we need your assistance. I think we have accomplished what we set out to do as far as this primary goal. We've provided them with information. We've offered our services through a couple of different ways. And so now I think they have the information that they need to contact us when they need us. And so that's at least that's my view as far as the primary goal is concerned. The secondary goals, unless you have some questions on that, the secondary goals, siting rules is one. I believe the siting work group has just about completed, and Annette's here, so she might be able to talk more. But I think, Annette, do you want to sit down? Or?
Okay.
I think the siting work group has just about completed the massive revisions of about a 51-page document. But there are still a couple of areas there that need to be worked out. So generally speaking, I'd say we've come a long way in revising those rules. Annette, did you have something else you're doing?
Well, Alana and I talked about the revision as it stands right now. We do have a really good start on that revision, and she asked me to contact Sandy Tabor to see if she wanted to reconvene the work group now that session's over. I contacted Sandy on Monday. And she did contact the group to gauge their interest, and she asked for them to respond by close of business tomorrow. I do expect that group to reconvene, I would guess, in some form, just to talk about the draft and the change in the law. When that will be scheduled, I don't know, but.
Okay, and then the next one I have on my list here is the IRP filing requirement and approval process that we've talked about before. But, Annette has provided me, I think, with a really good template, and it's more or less now in my hands to do with what I need to. It will take reviews and revisions of everyone on PUD staff. Everyone is involved. Everyone is involved in IRPs in one way or the other, and so I think that Annette has moved that about as far as she can herself. As far as rate increase application filing requirements, Annette has done quite a bit of research looking at other state commissions, and I'm not sure why, but we're not finding a lot as far as a real good set of filing requirements for electric rate increase applications. And as we've gone along, it's become clear to me, at least, that I think we need to issue a request for proposal. What I want to accomplish in that area is fairly significant. It's a significant effort, and staff, we don't have time to do it ourselves. The workload is such that that is not a priority, but I think it is a very critical and important thing to accomplish for the long term. It's one of those things where if you invest a little time now, you save a lot of time later. And I know that's not the way sometimes government in general operates, but I think it would be well worth our effort to get that done by the end of this year. If you need,
well, I just had a question. So, what are you telling me though about? Is that something that you think that we should continue having Annette work on, or is that something we should just?
No, I think she's taken that as far as she can. I've asked her to research what other state commissions have and what's out there on the internet, so to speak.
Okay.
And I haven't seen anything that is even close to what I'm envisioning. And so I think that we issue an RFP as soon as quick as possible, and we get that done by the end of the year.
This one, but an RFP for what exactly?
Request for proposals. Basically, you would put it out on the procurement website and ask for consultants to bid on that job, and the job would entail creating. For lack of a better word, I'll say we already have minimum filing requirements, and the companies do that. But I'm looking for much more than minimum filing requirements. I'm looking for information to be provided at the beginning of a rate case that is basically standard information necessary to complete our review.
So, but did we budget for that, or would that be come out of your operating budget? Or?
Well, we have plenty of ERA funding.
But I don't think ERA funding can be used for that, can it?
Yeah, no, I don't. Mike, I think with the ERA funding, it can't be used for consultants, but there's a separate pot of money that can be used for consulting services for state commissions on specific projects, but that's managed by NARUC. The acronym is CERCAT. It's S-E-R-C-A-T. I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but basically that's it. And they vet all of those things. But I believe that ERA can be spent for consultants. Yeah, cannot.
I think you're right now that you mention it. Okay, well, that's going to be something that.
Well, Mike, I guess I'd just like to interject. What's the time frame again where we need to make the latest we could make this decision? I know that earlier is better given all the scenarios, but what is the latest of this?
I don't know if Daryl's kind of been managing the grant.
The latest that we can apply for the extension is September.
Well, I guess.
So that's when it has to be submitted. They prefer earlier, you know, as you, I'm sure you're aware, but the latest is early in September.
Well, I guess my thoughts just would be that in the interest of time today, too, is that I don't think we need to make this decision today. What I'd like to see is I think maybe Annette could do more with some of the requirements, given that Chris is on board, see where that goes, maybe even ask her herself if what she hopes, what she could do based on the experience. I'm not convinced we've done enough with the counties. I just think that we can get through the flooding season now, go back out there and look at this, but shoot for sometime in mid-July to make this decision rather than right now.
Should we perhaps set a deadline for us for August 1st?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
To decide on, and at that point we may have a better idea if we feel like we need an extension or if it's pretty well the work is on its course. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds good.
I think it does. If I could just add also the other secondary goal was training staff, and we've spent a lot of money training staff. I think we've sent Chris, our new public utility analyst, almost to training almost monthly, and that'll culminate with a two-week rate school training in Michigan here in early August. And so I bring that up to say that, you know, you can spend money on training forever, but we have done a lot of training in the last year, and we have a fairly healthy PUD budget for training, not ERA, but PUD budget for training in the future. And so in that respect, I don't know, you know, I mean, we can do more training, but I'm fairly comfortable with what we've done so far and what I expect to get done before the end of the year. So,
okay. All right. Sounds like a plan then for
I have
to make a deadline by August 1. If we could have maybe, let's see, our next meeting is the 13th, and our next meeting after that, I don't recall, but it must be, what, right towards the end of July. Maybe we just make sure that we put this on it.
27th
for discussion sometime prior to August
1. All right, and for that meeting, you're expecting from me ideas, more initiatives that we might explore if we extend ERA funding,
Or even a recommendation of whether we should after you've done.
Yeah, I think it'd be we'd want a final recommendation from staff, and it could be either, you know, given the current list of priorities, do we feel that they'll be concluded by the end of the year? And or, you know, here's some other things that we think could be used if we extended it. But it would be a final recommendation from staff on what to do.
Tony, is there any way, since you're NARUC president, is there some way you can, like, waive the ERA funding the way we spend that ERA funding? Can you, like, I'd really like to get that rate increase application filing requirement done. But I don't think
that
I can.
That is all locked in the MOUs with the federal government.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We're going to be boarding fairly soon, so I wonder if you can either continue with the meeting if you want, or I don't anticipate that our informal will go on real long this afternoon. Would folks be amenable to just restarting our admin at the end of that?
Well, Sue is leaving, right?
I am leaving, yes. And mine will only take a minute if you have a minute, Tony.
Let's just jump to hers, Tony, number four.
Yep, let's take care of that then.
Yes. And that's a request for the alternative bond filing. I received a verbal one and told me they had to submit in writing for the commission. And I guess the commission has to decide whether you're going to continue with the historic practice of requiring.
Sue, could you bring the mic closer yet? I'm not picking up.
Sorry. The commission just has to make a decision whether you want to continue with our practice of requiring surety bonds or whether you want to deviate and consider accepting a letter of credit in lieu of. I have told the company that, you know, in the past, the commission has decided to go with the surety bonds because of the uncertainties and the risks that are associated with alternative filings.
I don't think anything's changed for me since the last time we talked, unless there's something you would offer. Okay. I guess that's my thought.
I would concur with Brian. I mean, there is a rationale for why we've discouraged alternative forms.
Yeah, until we have a shop, you know, a budget and people that can do a more in-depth economic analysis, business analysis, we're counting on them, right? That's our fundamental.
We'll send the letter and let them know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. With that, are folks comfortable coming back right after our informal?
Everybody else has a hardship? I think that's fine. In addition to the informal, we also have the discussion on budget stuff.
Oh, salary.
Yeah, salaries or something?
Salary and budget.
Salary
okay.
And budget.
Well, we can
do all that at once.
We can do it all as a matter of admin.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. We'll close the meeting for now and restart at the conclusion of our 1:30 informal.
See you in a little bit.
Thank you. Bye-bye.